I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the final days. Final days deliberations of the Gear of the Year 2016, as told boop, by boop. Us here, the Guitar Nerds. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined today by Matt Knight.
Well, hello there.
Jay Cross.
Please send help.
And Joe Branton.
No, that's what I call music.
We are firmly entrenched in the bunker. We're on hour six of podcasting.
We started at
11.
We started at 11.
Okay.
So we're into hour six.
We got here at 10. Joe got here at...
Yeah. No, you said you weren't going to be here till 10:20, so I turned up at 10:30.
Seems a bit weird. Anyway, we've fought it out over various categories over the course of this week or today, depending on where you are and who you are, timescale wise. And we have come up with some category winners that we're going to pit against each other to become 2016's Gear of the Year. Joe and Jay have got some
Gear
booze, so this is going to get rowdy.
Oh,
so,
yeah, hopefully this gin and tonic, this one gin and tonic
that
we're drinking is going to...
I remember last year being really drunk by this point.
Yeah.
I think we've taken it slightly easier.
Yeah.
I think it's good because we've been a little bit more. I don't know. We've agreed on a lot more stuff. But also, I think the selection of.
People don't want us to agree.
I know. But
they want Joe Belligerent Branton.
But the problem is all the best gear was obvious.
This year's been.
The base category, I know it's the one that you guys obviously have the least investment in, but that was.
What category?
Yeah.
Base.
But it was such a clear. It's been a limited. Yeah, actually, it's been quite a poor year across the board, except maybe for effects.
I don't think so. I think a lot of this stuff is really good. Really good.
I don't know if
this year has been quite as good as last year.
I'm not sure about that. I think a lot of this stuff on here I'd rather have than a lot of the stuff that was in the last year. The final is all super strong. Last year, an effects switcher one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I tell you what I'm really looking forward to.
And it's in the final again this year.
I tell you what I'm really looking forward to is Gear of the Decade.
Don't say that, we'll be so old.
2020 when we have
we really
so
should
good.
Do, we really well, should do like Gear of the Year like 1988
yeah,
or something ridiculous.
I think we should do that. Maybe that's a Patreon episode.
That is such a good
point.
Idea. Retrospective
well, we did,
Gear of the Year.
We did that with that Total Guitar that I found from January 2004, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, if any listeners have got any old copies of guitar magazines, the older the better. That's what we want. Yeah, December or January issues of old guitar magazines. If you've got them and like they're just taking up space in your house, we will 100% like we would love to take them off your hands, and you know we'll give you a shout out, or if there's anything we can do to make it up for you to send them to us, that would be amazing. We'd love it.
Yes, I think maybe that could
be
actually
the best idea.
Some sweet Patreon content.
I think it'd be great if we could do something like that.
I think so too. So should we run down what's through to the final? We have got...
Can I run it down?
We've got, 13 things. Does that sound right?
Yeah,
because...
Some of them were in twice for listeners' choice and stuff. So we've got a whole lot of stuff, and we are... I'm just checking that we've got everything. Mark's up, bright switch. Yeah, it's all here. It's all in the list. So we are going to count these down. And
that's 14 things.
Yeah, maybe 14. Maybe that's right.
No, because one of them was repeated, so we took it out, so it should be 13, right?
In fact,
no, because there was
Billy
two
Corgan
of them
twice.
There was.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
There was eight categories, so that should be 16. But the listener's choice. Wait, no, I think you have missed something out, mate.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. So we've got Billy Corgan. We've got Boss Katana 50. We've got
Gretsch isn't in there.
That's what it is. I tell you why. Well,
it's because we got rid of it straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go. 15. There's 15.
We've not deleted anything yet. Don't worry. Don't worry. So right, we've got everything in here now. So counting down from the top: Gretsch, Streamliner, Double Cut, the Boss Katana. 50.
You should let Joe do it.
Come on, then. Let me just adjust your mic volume.
What? Turning it all the way off.
Yeah. Fade out. Go on then.
The Gretsch Streamliner Double Cut. Boss Katana 50, Honey Boy 5 Watt, Echo Line, Road Runner, T-Rex Replicator, Rock Stock Bright Switch, Barefoot Buttons, ES8, Ernie Ball St. Vincent, Yamaha Trans Acoustic, Ranger FX, Dwarf Bleep, Reverend Billy Corgan Signature, Squire Affinity, Strat FSR Sparkle, Tech 21, Bass Fly Rig 5, Boss BC1X.
there's something else on the list.
No, you're just trying to write things on there to make me say them.
So, a lot of stuff. How do you want to do this? Do you want to pick something that you want to argue to stay on the list?
No, I think we should get rid of the obvious stragglers.
Let's get rid of some stragglers first. So, is there anything on there that we think can go? Bear in mind, some of this stuff is from last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
this is the problem we always run into with that category. How can something win Gear of the Year?
I think
it didn't come out that year.
I think we should
exclude that category.
Not necessarily exclude it, but I think
you need to weight that in.
I don't think it should be. It's obvious we shouldn't allow the ES8 to win again. But I think it's good to you leave it in. Leave the two products, so the ES8 and the St. Vincent, as
yardsticks.
Absolutely.
That's a good idea.
I think instead of counting... so what have we got there? We've got 14, 16 there?
15.
I think we should do a top 13, and those two, should just be a milestone. Because I think both ES8 and Ernie Ball St. Vincent have actually stood the test of the last year. I think where we've had other products... Because I was thinking one of the products was... the deco, and it just kind of
it sort of disappeared.
Yeah,
didn't it?
Whereas I think ESA is important for what it's doing for kind of switches and pedal boards now, and I think the St. Vincent is good for what it's doing for guitar players, and in terms of guitar design as well. So I think, we should do a top 13 rundown.
Okay.
Rather than a top 15, I suppose.
But then if you're doing that, then what's the point in including it at all?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm just wondering whether we actually just acknowledge before we kind of run it down that actually these two products
I think let's leave them there for the time being.
Yeah.
And let's see where we get to before we start needing to make some crucial decisions.
I'm already eyeing up some things on there that I think were two that did make it through the group but only just make it through. So... how about something like the Barefoot Buttons?
Yeah.
How do we feel? Is that a top 5 product of the year?
No, but it needs to stay in longer than this.
Okay, is there anything else on there?
I think at this stage, because we consider loads of things at the other stages in what makes it get to this stage, but at this point, I am pretty much only looking for innovation.
Okay.
I think that's always what's governed what's won.
No,
I'm
not sure. It's innovation, it's quality, it's price point.
It is part of the package, but I think the things that will get through, certainly to the top five, are the things that... because in theory, price point, quality, market appeal are all things we considered already when we put them...
Sure.
When we made them
top
two.
But we've also talked about innovation as well, and for the reason... I just think it's... we need to think, is this a headlining product? And it doesn't necessarily need to mean that it's expensive. It just means what are the standouts? And I think the factors are a little bit more ethereal than this is innovative or this is, great value for money.
And will it stand the test of time?
Yeah, I think that we need to factor that in as well. So,
okay. Which is why Squire Affinity Strat.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think
that's
great fun product. Yeah. And like I said, I had a really...
So sorry, listeners, but the first product we're ditching...
is one of yours.
And it wasn't even me that suggested it.
That's true. It wasn't you that suggested it. I think yes, it's great. I bought one, but I went home the other day and wanted to play some guitar and picked that up and picked up my Gibson Les Paul Junior and was like, yeah, this is not a great playing guitar and it doesn't sound great at the moment.
You have to do a lot of work to it. I think, like you said, for the money and for the kind of mod factor, what a cool guitar. And if you want to do the same on Warmoth, it's actually three times the price.
Totally.
But I think in terms of like everything we've just talked about in terms of what a great Gear of the Year product is, that isn't really any of them. Apart from maybe price.
I agree. So we're saying bye-bye to the Squire Affinity Strat FSR Sparkle HH.
They're going
to
be gutted, Squire. They were really looking forward to winning this.
A lot of them listened. So,
yeah, they really thought they were in with a chance this year.
So, is there anything else on there that we think we can say goodbye to straight away?
Yamaha Transacoustic?
I think so.
No way.
I think you're right.
None of us are ever going to buy one.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to buy one.
That's the first strike. Not quite. It's genius. It's completely genius.
It's not genius.
Is it
in the top five best gear of this year?
Yes, it's completely mentally unstable. That's what it is.
Like, no, that's you.
Who has put this through? Who has put this into production?
We put it through.
But I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
I think the
dwarf bleep has to go before this.
I think both of them can go at the same time. I don't think weirdest gear was particularly strong this year.
I like the dwarf bleep, but it is just doing what the Echo X did last year. It's a small box that's fun, basically.
So I think
they can both go.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I think the dwarf bleep goes, and
I think we've got to be a bit harsh.
It's an acoustic guitar, yeah? Yeah. With a mechanical bit in it that gives it reverb and chorus.
It's also no longer on this list. So
that is unbelievable. I can't believe you're taking
that. I agree.
It's
a cool, innovative thing.
That should be winning Gear of the Year.
But it's not a top five Gear of the Year product.
Wrong.
And therefore,
easily
it gets cut.
Top five.
I'm going to say it's time.
What's wrong with you?
I'm going to say it is time to cut one of 2016's 2015 products.
Well, it makes no difference now. You've cut the best thing.
I'm going to cut the Ernie Ball St. Vincent because, yes, it wasn't even initially in our top five of last year.
Whoa. We can't cut that before the ESA. This is all wrong.
Why? The ESA won Gear of the Year last year.
Yeah, I know.
I'm happy to chop the St. Vincent, but I think if it's going, you need to talk about the other items within its category that are still staying. So, you know, what you've got there is you've got the St. Vincent. How do you think the St. Vincent is going to compare up against the Billy Corgan signature and the Gretsch Streamliner?
Yeah, I mean, it's a better feeling, better playing guitar, but it's also way more money.
Of course it is. But I think it's... If we're talking about, you know, like one of the things you've got with the Reverend and the Ernie Ball there is you've got two very different looking guitars.
Yep.
You know, they aren't your sort of classic run-of-the-mill, classic looking guitars. And so how do you hold those guitars in comparison to the St. Vincent? Are we going to be sitting here? Say we put through one of those two guitars, the Streamliner and the Billy Corgan. Are we going to be sitting here this time next year and say, oh, Billy Corgan, this is still great. Whereas the St. Vincent, we're still excited about.
That guitar will stand the test of time. The St. Vincent is a guitar
I think so too. And the reason that it's good to have last year's products in this list, even though we all acknowledge they're never going to win or probably even get to the top five because it's a ridiculous concept, is it is good to do this. What I think, there's other ways that they are also similar in that it's, you know, a very iconic looking signature guitar, clearly designed with the artist for, you know, quite specific purposes. You know, the St. Vincent was designed with her body shape in mind, and although that obviously translates over to other people, she was very, very involved in the design. Same with the Billy Corgan. You know, those Railhammer pickups are designed for, you know, and around him. What I would say is that I think they're also similar in that they are indicative of watershed moments in both of those brands' lives. In the case of Ernie Ball, they've gone from, you know, they do, let's say, like the John Petrucci's, and they do the weird
Albert Lee's,
John Myung type, you know.
Oh, come on, the Albert Lee's are pretty industry standard.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. But I think that it's brought it to a completely new audience. And I also think that's the same with the Reverend. You know, they were kind of a guitar company on the fringe making some really nice, you know, they've got those P90 guitars that they do, whatever they're called, the Rebel or something, I think they're called.
And then they do those baritones and...
Totally, but this was like a massive release for them. Like, it got into loads of guitar magazines, there was a huge press release around it. So I think there are quite a lot of similarities between those two. And for that reason, I think the Billy Corgan should stay on this list. And I think the St. Vincent, not saying that it's had its day at all, I think that guitar will keep going, but... For the purposes of this list, I think we say bye to that, and it kind of lends credence to the Billy Corgan staying in this process for longer, I think.
I mean, I don't think we should chop the Billy Corgan, but I think you're, I think what you've done there is you're trying to upsell the relevance
not at all
of the Billy Corgan,
but
and I don't think it stands up to a number of those products that we've still got there.
But there's a few factors as to why we keep things on this list, and it being a watershed moment in Reverend when a lot of people kind of started to take notice of them, I think is really, really important. And I think whether it makes the top five or not, you know, we need to just leave it on there for as long as possible. Joe Branton, you've just deleted everything on the list. is that in protest of the Transacoustic game? Shall we say that St. Vincent, yes, it was fantastic for last year. We can't keep it on this list
for
because
sure,
it's last
sure,
year's
for sure,
product.
For sure.
Let's talk about some of the more accessory stuff. The Rockstock Bright Switch, is that a top five product for this
it's,
year?
It's no, it's not.
I don't know if it's top five, but it's better than the Barefoot Buttons.
Okay.
Do you think?
I think in terms of... what I may see more people use, I don't know.
I think
difficult.
It's going to be the Barefoot Buttons, surely.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I suppose maybe I'm thinking like practical for me. Maybe the Bright Switch should be good, but then actually you just don't see that many people with LEDs on their pedalboard.
No, and
in terms of like lighting stuff up.
Oh yeah, of course. And actually, for you, I think the Barefoot Buttons might be more beneficial.
Yeah, I think so. And using it as something like an ES8, I think it is probably
definitely
more beneficial. So I think maybe something like the Bright Switch. I just think, yeah, maybe its market is probably way more limited than the buttons. And how much are the buttons? Like a couple of dollars each, right?
I don't know exactly off the top of my head. I think you buy them in packs of five or something. Yeah.
So are we suggesting that we got those the wrong way around then?
Well, no, just maybe when you put it in this product group and when you think about what is a top five overall product, I think things take on a different context, don't they?
Yeah.
So what are we saying? Are we saying the Rockstock
Bright
Switch?
I don't think either of those are probably a top five product.
Is it too early to eliminate them, though?
No, I think we could probably get rid of the Bright Switch.
Yeah, okay. I'd keep the buttons over the Bright Switch.
But I wouldn't necessarily say it might be there right till the end.
Okay, so we're saying the Rockstock Bright Switch we're saying goodbye to.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
We've got a lot of pedals there. I think we should maybe start looking at getting rid of the BC1X so we can start talking about the serious contenders.
I mean, how do we feel about a bass compressor being... just by the nature of what it is being in the top five products this year.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
like,
it's a
great
like I said, product, though. It is a game changer for bass.
Well, sure, but is it more of a game? Is it more of a game changer than the Tech 21 Bass Fly Rig 5?
I think in terms of technology, yeah. Because I think the technology will stand the test of time more in the BC1X than the Tech 21 in terms of those Fly Rig things.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think
it's difficult because it's Tech 21.
They're so close, different.
But yeah, because I mean, in a way, the Fly Rig 5 isn't exactly like a new product. It's like sticking together all the
a load of old products,
old products, but all old products that are great.
But in such a usable way, and making it and it's and the price.
I suppose
I love the Tech 21 Bass Fly Rig 5 is one of the best products, like full stop, to come out for bass in the last.
I think, as we said before,
an answer to everything.
The Fly Rig 5 is a, I think, an all round better.
But
product
it's a professional
BC1X.
Answer to everything as well, and that's something that Multi Effects always fall short.
Yeah, completely.
Then they always fall short sound wise, I think, and I don't think the Tech 21 does. I think it's a Multi Effects that is pure multi-effects, you know.
I mean,
not messing around with any presets, and I think it just works. Like,
yeah,
compare that to that Electro Harmonix epitome that we talked briefly about. Like, it's almost a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
The epitome in comparison to the
Flyrig 5. That different money wise. Probably not that different. The Electromonics creeps up to like over 100 quid, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is £300.
Well, yeah, certainly, but it like does quite a lot more, and like you said, way more professional way of doing it.
£300 very, very well spent.
I'm going to throw it out there. How does everyone feel about the Gretsch Streamliner double cut?
It was contentious in getting through in the first place, wasn't it? And I think I pushed it through more because I didn't like the alternative than I.
Okay.
I think it's tricky because I just. There'll be another one, and we'll be saying the same thing. And I just don't think it's going to stand out as a.
If it wasn't
a great product,
the best guitar that came out this year was the PRS.
CE24.
Yeah, the CE24.
A guitar that's been out since 1988.
Then why is it in the list?
Because technically,
they discontinued it.
They relaunched it this year, but.
And it's great.
No,
it's
brilliant. That's done.
Satin finishes didn't exist before.
That argument's done, Joe Branson.
Know,
you can't bring things back now.
But that's the thing. I think, you know, if we are comparing guitars and we're taking in so many different factors, I mean, we're going to go back round to what we're saying under best guitar, but I still think the Billy Corgan is a better guitar than the Streamliner.
I do as well, and I think the Streamliner is fantastic for the money, really well built, offering something different. I'm looking at the rest of this list and I just don't think it's going to fit in the final top five. I just can't see the Streamliner in there.
No.
How do you feel about that?
I don't get the buzz about the Billy Corgan. It's a very good bolt-on guitar.
I don't think bolt-on should come into
it.
I think it's a very good guitar
for about £1,000. It's a really good guitar.
I mean, it's
about
800 quid.
It's a really good guitar for about £1,000.
It's a really good guitar if you don't care at all what it looks like, because it looks pony.
It's difficult though, because can we take looks into it realistically?
What? Of course you can.
Yeah, we totally can.
It doesn't look as good as the offset telly. It doesn't look as good as the offset telly. So if that's what we're going on, then there's that.
Well, I think the other thing is that what the Billy Corgan and what Reverend as a whole offer people now at an affordable price is a great alternative to the big hitters, because there hasn't been for a long time.
And also, it's another guitar, you know, like,
because some people want to spend £1,000 and they don't want a Fender and they don't want to give.
Yeah,
them.
Agreed.
And also, it comes in at that price point now where, you know, Baja Tellys are 750 quid.
Yeah, better guitar than this.
Well, but this is another option at 750 quid, which is a difficult price point if you don't want to get a Baja Telly.
Yeah, I mean the thing that I want to do most with 750 quid is get a guitar with an aluminium scratch plate and Silverburst, yeah, that's a great idea.
But you get it in white.
It's not just Silverburst. You can get it white with a plastic scratch plate. They don't all have aluminium scratch plates, as far as I'm aware.
I think the white, they all have the same scratch plate, but they do white, green, purple, and Silverburst.
It's a super cool guitar.
I think white looks really good.
And in terms of playability, I would say it's more playable than a Baja
Telly. In terms of a look, surely it's
not.
It's a chunky neck. It's incredibly well set up. The fret job is fantastic. It's as good, if not better, playing as a Baja Telly.
I mean, I play a pink guitar and I love the way that sparkly guitars look, but ultimately, at the end of the day, whatever sells me on a guitar that I buy is the way it feels. And if it feels great, I'll probably put aside how it looks, because I'm going to play it.
Yeah, no.
I think ultimately, like, as much as... But then again, if you took away the scratch plate and you put single coils in it,
how far away is it from an offset? And look.
How far away?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I think G&L Reverend are a really good brand, but
sure, Cole.
They look exactly like G&L's. Come on,
no,
this is
they
not
don't.
Original in any
no,
way.
No, they
form.
Don't.
But then how it is difficult to be original without being totally out of the way.
Yeah,
like totally
true.
Completely.
Like,
is there anything on this list that we're saying is definitely not a top five product? Matt Knight.
Do you know what?
Yeah, the Reverend Billy Corgan signature.
No, yeah, the Reverend Billy Corgan signature.
The BC1X is not a top.
No, you're right. The BC1X. I'm ready to eliminate the BC1X.
BC1X is gone.
Yeah. And can we take the ES8 at the same time?
The
I
ES8.
Think it's time.
I think it's time for the ES8 to be gone from these proceedings.
We're getting on to the serious ones now, I think.
We need to.
The Echo Line, the Replicator, the Honey Boy, the Katana, the Streamliner.
I mean,
the 21. not the best.
I guess it kind of
all strong.
I guess it kind of depends.
The transacoustic.
It goes back to what the purpose of us keeping the.
Are you getting existential again?
Yeah, to a certain degree, I am. And
well, I think part of the fact is that it's comedy that we could carry over ESA. But in seriousness, that shouldn't be in the top 5.
Well, the thing is maybe what we should do, because we do this every year, and maybe what we should do is not include. Maybe in the future we should not include this category and actually make it a standalone podcast as like a...
We could do that.
I think because the thing is we get to this point again where we're like, okay, well, where does it, you know, what do we chop in and what do we chop out? Like, because if we're looking at this in relation to the new products, I would say that maybe the ES8 could... arguably go above the T-Rex replicator.
I mean, Jake,
there's some words.
Open up your flanks.
There are some words that I can
Mark
agree
Peckham,
with.
No.
This, you know,
no,
this,
hey, here's I, one. I, why don't we knock both of those things off this
no,
list?
No, let's not. No. We're not knocking anything off this list.
I still think out of all these products, and I think they're all great products. If I had a list of that, including the ES8, I'd probably still pick the ES8 as my favourite product. To me, that is the one product that I think.
Yeah, well, buy
if
that.
If you picked it this year and it was in next year, I still think next year will be going.
Well, why don't we just add to the Baja Telly into the list every single year? You know,
I totally get it. That's why it shouldn't. We should discuss the fact that actually
the ESA is one of the best products that's ever come out since I've been at all involved in.
Yeah, since I've been working in guitar, I think it's one of the. You know, there's a lot of switches out there, but in terms of what people are doing with it creatively,
let's get rid of it.
ESA's gone. It's good to have the old year's product, last year's products in there, because it does make us talk about the union, as it were.
I think maybe what we should do is next year, the podcast before we do Gear of the Year
is our retrospective. But that means we need to come up with a new category to get the required number.
If any listeners have any recommendations of.
What about because Branton Ranton would have happened by next year, in that case we could have Branton Ranton's
worst gear of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, but then that can't go through to the final either. Anyway, we could have smallest bass head.
Oh, now we're talking.
Mark bass product of the year.
Indeed. Okay, so that leaves us with the Gretsch Streamliner Double Cut, the Boss Katana 50, Honey Boy 5 Watt, Echoline Roadrunner, T-Rex Replicator, Barefoot Buttons, Tech 21 Bass Fly Rig 5, the Reverend Billy Corgan Signature.
It's getting good. Those are all really
They are really
products.
Good. I'm going to say, how does everyone feel about losing Barefoot Buttons?
I think, that it's along with the time. Reverend Billy Corgan.
No, not
it's
yet.
It's time. The Barefoot Buttons need to go.
Yeah,
the Barefoot Buttons are an absolutely great product, though, for innovation.
I think we really can't undersell.
You've got to keep your footsies.
We
nice
really can't way. Undersell how important it is that a product like the Barefoot Buttons can come from being a Kickstarter project, all the way to making it through to. Oversell what it is that we do here, can get to the point where we're holding it hand in hand with products like, the Boss Katana, for example, which has got however much, hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of R&D put into
totally.
It. You know, I think it's great that a product can get to that point through Kickstarter, and I think it really should be an inspiration for anybody who has an idea when it comes to something that would make their life easier in the guitar world. You can make a success of it. The Barefoot Buttons is testament to that.
Definitely. We've got 7 products left. I think we should do a little round table of if one was going to go, what would it be?
Okay.
Matt Knight, on that list, which of those products would you delete?
The one that I've already voiced the most of is the Gretsch. But if I had to pick something different... And this is going to split people. I'd probably say the Honey Boy.
Oh, Matt Knight, he's disappointed me.
No way.
I like it, but I don't know if it's a top 5 compared to some of the other products on here.
It is completely
I think
a top 5.
There's a better top 5 list in my mind.
Joe Brandon, which one would you delete if you had to?
The Gretsch Streamliner at this stage. Okay. I think everything else there is really strong.
Jay
really
Cross.
Strong.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Reverend.
You can't say the Reverend Billy Corgan.
I mean, you're asking me which one I want to get rid of. Okay.
That's fine, because if you said that and then no one else said the Gretsch, then it's obvious that we've got to get rid of the Gretsch next.
I'll suspend my disbelief for a moment. I really like the Gretsch. I actually don't think that, looking at the list, I'm not sure that either of these guitars, I think you could get rid of both those guitars and that is a solid top five. That for me is that would be where I would stand.
I can't get behind the Replicator over the Billy
Corgan. I must
Corgan.
Admit, if I was going to get rid of two right now, thought that everyone was happy, I'd say Gretsch and Replicator.
100%.
And you'd have a great top five.
We're normally on the same side. I don't know what you're doing.
I think if you got rid of the Gretsch and the Replicator, you've got the Katana, the Honey Boy, the Roadrunner, the Fly Rig, and the Billy Corgan. You've got five amazing products from five awesome categories.
I think so
and
too.
And if you played any of those products, you'd have a great time.
I'm fully up for getting rid of the Streamliner and the Replicator. Can we agree on the Streamliner? Because Joe, you said Streamliner,
yeah, I
said Streamliner, Matt said Streamliner.
I mean, that's how it's going to go then.
The Gretsch has got to go.
That's how it's going to go.
I don't like democracy.
Jay's just sharpening
either.
His knives even more.
I just, like... The thing is it isn't even the fact that I like the Streamliners that much.
That you know deep down the Transacoustic was the best product.
It's just the Billy Corgan isn't that good.
It is.
It's not that good. It really isn't. Like, it really isn't as good as... It's not a top five product.
Oh, 100% is a top five product.
What are you talking about?
It's a quite good offset guitar.
It's a Jaguar with P90s.
Yeah, great.
More money than you pay for a Jaguar.
It comes in white.
Yeah.
No, less money than you pay for a Jaguar.
Less money than you pay for a Jag. Comes with a P90.
800 quid. That's what you can buy those nitro finished Jaguars for 800 quid, which is the same money.
I bet
Why would you buy one of those? The 50s reissue.
901 pounds. There we go. Slightly more expensive.
Ding 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 ding.
The new ones are coming out because I think they're being discontinued. The American professional ones.
Yes,
they're going to be
1500 quid. Absolutely, but that's not what we're talking about.
But I think realistically, right? So if someone walks into a shop and they've got £900 to spend,
here you go. Here's
what would you recommend that? And they go, I don't want a Fender or a Gibson, because that is the question I heard so much. Before I left the store, I don't want a Fender or Gibson.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
Definitely. Reverend as a brand, I think, are definitely
Part of what the Billy Corgan represents is that a brand that's going to be a big force in the guitar market over the next... Because they're actually saying guitars don't have to be built in America to be good.
You're preaching to the converted here.
Yeah, I know, but we are... But I think a lot of people in the guitar buying market aren't.
Sure.
And I think that's what Reverend really stand for, is actually you don't have to...
As a comparison, in more ways than one, because both of these men were Courtney Love's love rivals, the Fender Kurt Cobain Nos Jaguar, two humbuckers...
Completely different guitar. Made in Mexico.
£1,266.
Yeah, those Damasio Super Distortions are well expensive.
Yeah, but how much do you think the Railhammers are? Railhammers are a brand on their own. They're like near.
They're made by the guy who owns. Reverend.
Well, yeah, but they are a different brand, and you can buy those pickups.
The Billy Corgan is not. Should not win this competition.
I'm not saying it's going to win. It's definitely top five. It's definitely top five.
I think if we were talking about any other Reverend that wasn't a Billy Corgan, everyone would be in agreement.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think. Maybe that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I really dislike
because
that
I think there's.
It's nothing to do with it's nothing to do with the player, nothing to do with the geezer at all.
But I think it's also to do with the looks, and I think I think the looks have swayed you guys.
Oh, that,
no, that's
to,
totally
no, not
if,
at all.
If there was a different 100%. Reverend in this category, I'd really like the brand Reverend.
Well, yeah, but they're the only really difference. Like they play exactly the same. They've same that's price, the same features. The same neck, they just look different.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
because that's the thing.
So you are going on looks.
I didn't think it. Played as
it's
well as you
phenomenal.
And I didn't
it's
think it played
the,
as well as you thought
literally
it
one of the best
when
guitars
I went to
I've
your
ever
house,
played
when I went around to your house and I picked up when we first got it when I picked up the Reverend I was like oh this is quite cool
it plays way better than my Junior
and then I picked up your Junior I was like this is so much
it,
better
it plays so much
so
better
much
than that
better.
Junior it's so well made
put it,
for
put
the
it like this if you compared the Reverend to the Yamaha Transacoustic
I thought you were going to bring the Revstar back into the fold but no I think we need to put Billy Corgan to the side for now because
if two of us like it, I agree I think we've kind of made our point and I think it can sort of it can stay I just think
but
I don't want
you've
let's
agreed,
not get too happy about a Korean
fine, but you've agreed that if it looked different, you would think that it was better.
I agree that I really like Reverend. I think they're a really great brand.
Good, good. Okay, well, I think the Billy Corgan has to stay in the top five, which means we need to get rid of something else.
I mean, as a lock-in for a top five product, which everyone has been in agreement with, Echo Line Roadrunner.
Well, we haven't even spoken about it yet.
Well, okay,
this, which
okay
is,
well, what,
which is
what,
very promising.
What are your top five locks? Matt Knight, just one top five lock.
I think Echo Line, because I really... Out of all the products
we
played
Are we all in agreement
year,
that the top five... That needs to be locked in the top five?
I think we can safely say that the Echo Line, the Tech 21...
Honeymoon. No, Tech 21 is not a lock-in yet.
What?
I think, in terms of the way that we've discussed all this stuff, I think...
Unbelievable. It doesn't matter that we both want the Reverend out.
I think
as
those
soon
three,
as he wants the...
I think those three. I think the Echo Line, the Katana, and the Tech 21 are lock-ins.
This is,
I really do, and I think the others are fighting over those lock-ins.
Okay,
are we sure we should be putting any more lock-ins at this stage? Like, I think so much stuff...
Katana 50, I think, is
Katana's
a lock-in.
Katana's a lock-in.
Yeah.
Katana's a lock-in.
I just...
After that, this is like everything's got something to play for. I really like the Honey Boy. I really want it to go further than this. I think you could take... I would offer up the Replicator as a sacrifice at this stage.
Okay.
It's tricky because I take so much like personal involvement in the Honey Boy in terms of the way I feel about it as an amp that I would buy, which is not the way I should look at it really. Because if it was an amp that I was going to buy... I probably wouldn't buy one after it because it's not the sort of thing that I want. But I do totally get that it's for the money. Like, you know,
well, that's it.
That
it's
you
a
just,
British
you, Matt,
you hand
just got to think like me. I do this whole Gear of the Year on products that I'm not going to buy as a bass player.
Yeah, but I also, when I think of products I'm going to buy, I think if I bought it, would I still have it this time next year? That's also
you
the way I think about it.
You don't own anything that you owned this time last
no,
year.
No, yeah, you
I actually
own
a lot
one.
That I had last year, but.
How does everyone feel about getting rid of the T-Rex Replicator? Because I just think we already spoke about it. You
martial law, that's what this
no,
is.
No,
I mean, you, so you're
law.
The only one
Wasn't
who doesn't
program,
like the Replicator.
I'm not the only one who doesn't
us,
like it. What I'm saying is,
two of us don't
I think
like
it's a great product. I don't even think it's a great product, but you guys think it's a great product. I think it's a bit of a gimmick, and I think for much less money, you could get something like an RE20, mm-hmm. which is a great sounding, you know, tape-style delay. The novelty of this is that it's got an actual tape built in. Personally, I think that's going to cause problems in the future. What happens when T-Rex don't supply those tapes anymore? They're not universal. You know, is this a product that in 10 years' time you're still going to be able to use? Probably not.
I suppose, are we looking at another Strymon Deco?
Are we looking at another Strymon Deco? Is it a bit of a kind of gimmicky pedal?
You're a gimmicky pedal.
Thanks.
I mean, I like... I can see that the Billy Corgan is going through, and out of the remaining... items.
It's fine that the Billy Corgan goes through. I think that's
if the Corgan is going through, then out of the remaining ones, then the Replicator is the one that should not go through.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
That sounds good to me.
I think that's really rubbish that we're going to have that we're guitar nerds and we're going to have a Korean Jaguar go through.
It's
in
not
the year,
a Korean
the year
Jaguar.
That a real tape delay came out, and we didn't think
it
was
again,
top five.
But then again, last year the full tone solid state tape echo came out, which was the first commercially available solid state tape echo, which we didn't even mention.
So well, none of us like, tried. None of us. Oh, you tried.
I tried it.
Yeah, I didn't get to try it.
But I think that's the thing. Is that you, yeah,
it was a lot more money.
Yeah, they were £899, so it was £150 more, okay, wasn't it?
So, I just think the replicator. I just don't think it's got the legs. I think we would, if we put that through, we'd look back at it and think.
And you'd put it on your pedal board, then I think you might actually, in one way, probably be scared to use it, even though it's a T-Rex pedal, so you probably know it's not going to break. But, yeah, I don't know.
I can't stand behind it as a top five product.
I mean, I can't stand behind the Billy Corgan, but, you know, we are where we are.
But we're not being given a choice on that one.
We are where we are.
Did something bad happen to you while Smashing Pumpkins was playing on the radio or something? You got a vendetta against BC.
No, I honestly have no feelings either way about him. No feelings either way about him. I think the guitar... I really do think the guitar is cool. I think it's a cool guitar. 100%. I don't think it's the best guitar that come out this year, but I'm willing to...
We did say it was the best guitar. Okay, we did.
I'm willing to. So I don't think it's the best guitar that come out this year, but I'm willing to, you know, take a step back and say that, you know, if the feelings are there, then the feelings are there.
If this has probably been the most contentious product, I think. How do we feel about the Billy Corgan as number five on this list?
Well, where's it gone?
You need to go to the top.
Oh, have you deleted it, Joe Branton?
No.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay. No,
I kind of feel that. Yeah, that to me sounds right because I don't think we'd ever agree. Really,
I mean, personally, for me, it would sit in the top three, but I can see. I mean, there's some hostility
towards
it.
When I went to obviously my old store the other week, I came so close to buying one.
Did you?
Because I was like, this guitar. I played one again. I was like, it can't just be the one because we've demoed it. And I was like, actually, I could easily buy one of these and play the one off the shelf, and I mean that like generally. I just like that is I really do like it.
I personally wouldn't be happy if that was number five on the list. I think that the purely for mass appeal, the Tech 21 Bass Flyrig 5 needs to be fifth on this list, because firstly, it's not for everyone because it's a bass product. Secondly, it's not for every bass player because most people won't need effects.
And it's not done anything
and
new.
If they have got effects, they're probably not going to be able to integrate this into this rig. It's got a very good but quite niche appeal.
Yeah.
Do we think the Flyrig 5 can live at fifth on this list?
I mean, I might just go out for a walk or something. See, my opinion is obviously not really needed.
I'm happy that you're not happy about. I'm not happy that you're not happy. So. How about...
I'd put in for that. I think that's probably the highest a bass product has ever come on. It won first year.
And last year, the Obi-Wan came second.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
God. Bad.
How do we feel about the bass Flyrig in 5, the Billy Corgan in 4, and then that leaves us with the Honey Boy 5-watt, the Echoline Roadrunner, and the Boss Katana 50.
See, I've been really quiet about the Katana because I don't want to say... I don't want to feel that people
don't
who are listening
that.
To
I'm
this...
Gonna, that, I'm going to fight this corner.
But, yeah, I generally think for the one for the 50, for the money, I think for a kid coming in who doesn't want to be blinded by loads of different... who wants to plug in and get a great sound without having loads of presets and actually get a real feel from the amplifier... I think the Katana 50 should be higher. I'm actually thinking Billy Corgan third, and then we fight between Echoline and Katana for first and second.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wait, what was
no,
the
no,
fourth?
No, no,
oh,
no,
is it? Oh,
no.
Billy Corgan's fourth. I didn't see that. Right?
Yeah.
Honey Boy.
Oh, so we've got the Honey Boy as well.
How would you feel about
this?
See,
I think the Katana's better than the Honey Boy.
How would you feel about this as a top five? Tech 21 Flyrig at 5. Reverend Billy Corgan at 4. Honey Boy 5-watt at 3, Boss Katana 50 at 2, and Echoline Roadrunner at number 1.
No, I think the Honey Boy is the best thing.
No, definitely not.
J Cross, you can't get rid of the Billy Corgan.
I know I can't get rid of the Billy Corgan. I know that's fine. I don't know.
I almost think that the Katana, for me, is...
I think
a more
higher
up product because
it's
just
wonderful innovation.
Table,
I'm not going to be part of a podcast that makes a practice amp the best thing of the year.
It's difficult because I have turned it up loud and I definitely think you could gig with it easily. The problem is that people who are spending that sort of money aren't necessarily going to gig it.
I definitely think you could gig with it.
This is always my problem with putting that kind of tech in something that's designed to gig.
But then it's again, like, we make bigger ones that people are going to gig more. And I'd say if someone wanted to gig, they love the sound of it and they wanted to gig it, the 100-watt 212 would be better because of the better bass response you get from having 212 speakers. It's like anything, those combos. I think in terms of someone using it at home for the money, in terms of this time of year, someone buying an amp, I think just for me personally, I would get more enjoyment from the Katana 50 than I would the Honey Boy 5.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
I'm also inclined to agree with you.
The Honey Boy 5.
I think what we need to think about, and again, it comes down to what we're doing here. You know, what is it that makes a product the gear of the year? Are we looking at the best thing within its category for the price? You know, and, you know, we can... Because I think that the Katana is the best practice amp for the price.
Yeah.
I also think that the Honey Boy is probably the best sort of hand-wired boutique amp for its price.
Mm.
And the Echo Line, I think, is probably the best boutique drive pedal for its price. And then you have to sort of say, okay, well, what takes precedent here? Is it the mass appeal of one? Is it the custom options of one? Is it the fact that, you know, there's all these different things? And like, for me, I think the thing that I was the most excited about, that really made me sit up this year and go, crikey, this is mad, is the Echo Line. The Echo Line, I thought was astonishing. Really genuinely blew me away.
I think that very loud, you know, show environment where you've got 100 things going on, I could still tell.
It was quality. Absolutely. Definitely.
And actually, when I picked it up, and I know, like, we were a bit like, oh, it's a bit big. I think you hit it on the head with the Pete Cornish thing. I think what I like about Echo Line is I think there's great things to come from this brand. So I think the Roadrunner kind of shows what else I think is going to come out, and I think how revered these products are going to be in the future as well.
I think so. So
next, John, because I haven't had my pitch yet.
Okay, go on then.
Next year.
Yeah.
Another company are going to make a drive pedal in a good chassis. It sounds good.
Yes, they are.
Now that Boss have changed the price point, someone is going to make a practice amp that sounds better for the same price point.
Disagree, but...
their mantles they have limited time on them, both of them. Whereas the Honey Boy is completely unrivaled.
I agree.
I think it's unrivaled in price, but if you're looking at those sort of amps, is it unrivaled in terms of tone? And I think there's probably, if you want to spend a bit more, which some people who want a boutique hand wired amp generally are willing to spend a little bit more, and I think your options then open up a bit. And I kind of think, how long can he maintain that price?
Well, yeah,
this is the thing. And I think, you know, but I mean, I'm just sort of saying, and I'm just thinking ahead, you know, what, you know, do we go to another show next year and we see another amp that's 500 quid that's also hand wired? Because then where does your level, you know, it depends how much you could build something in the UK but use cheap. I'm not saying he does, but you could buy something in the UK, use super cheap components and charge 200 quid. It's still hand wired. It still uses the same circuit. It's all about what you're putting into it.
Sure, but I also don't think necessarily that we should take into account
what might come next year.
What we will, and also what we will think of these things next year. Because when we looked back on, for example, when we look back on the Basics, we said, you know what? It hasn't stood the test of time. That doesn't mean that it wasn't the best product of that year.
Yeah.
It was still the best product of that year. The fact that it didn't then cross over and continue to be the best product the following year, I don't think really makes a huge amount of odds.
Yeah, I agree. I think
that's why it's Gear of the Year 2016. That's what we're doing right now. What we have in front of us right now is what's important.
Yeah.
And like, I'm a little bit. I understand entirely where Joe's coming from when he says it shouldn't just be another practice amp that. It shouldn't be a practice amp that wins Gear of the Year because it is just.
I don't like the term practice amp though.
I agree. I don't think the Katana stuff is just a practice amp, but I also think that for me that's not the number one product. I think the hearing that Echoline Roadrunner, getting the box,
yeah,
feeling the quality of that product, seeing the price, knowing that it's, you know, handmade in the UK, it's talking fantastic to drive pedal.
Like, I mean, one of the things for me that really stood out. What the really, really stood out was when we spoke to the chap from Echoline, how excited he was.
Yeah.
When we said, mate, this is great. This is so cool. What a great thing. That could be any of us.
Yeah.
That could be any of us that created that product. In exactly the same way that I was pushing, you know, whilst the Barefoot Buttons, you know, certainly don't deserve to be here, I think that the achievement of that one individual making this pedal, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge, and I don't think that should be discounted from where we are.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what you said, you know, we're talking about right now the best product of the year.
Yeah.
I really couldn't say that I thought the Honey Boy was the best product this year.
If you can't stand behind that, I think that's where we've ended up. I think Honey Boy in third. How do people feel about that? Joe Branton is not
happy. Joe's not happy about it.
But what if the Echoline wins? You know, they're coming from a similar place. They're from built in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they are made with kind of love and care, and they're, you know, a premium product, but not ridiculous.
It'd be so
good.
It's really cool. It's just I didn't get it, and it has to come down to a personal preference at all. I didn't get incredibly excited about it. I think it's a great product. Don't get me wrong. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And it probably, looking at this, yeah, it's probably going to win. And I think it will be very deserved. But I'm thinking about how excited I was when we did the unboxing of the Honey Boy.
Sure.
And I'm thinking about when I saw the Echoline and amongst all those other also really good pedals.
Matt Knight, what would be your third place product in this list?
I think it would be the Honey Boy.
Joe Branton, what would be your third place product in this list?
The Katana.
Jay Cross, what would be your third place product in this list?
I think really reluctantly, it would be the Honey Boy.
I think mine would also be the Honey Boy.
Really, really, really reluctantly, that I think it would be the Honey Boy.
Tragic.
I think, you know, as you said, I was so excited, and I still think for the money, fantastic. But when I plugged it in, I was like, I personally played better products.
Right.
I think, ultimately. But I still think for what he does and for the money, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
What would be your second place product in this list?
It had to come down to these two, didn't it?
Of course.
If I'm being perfectly honest, I mean, you know, I would be well tempted to finish this podcast, close my laptop, speak to Andy? Echoline?
Yeah,
at the moment, Andy, and just be like, yeah, we talked about it for 6 hours. I need to buy one of these.
Okay.
I need to buy one of these. Because, we have talked about the gear of the year, and actually, at the end of the day, I mean, obviously, I've got some personal ties to the Katana, and I still think it's a fantastic product. But in terms of my personal product, in terms of if I was going to buy something now, I would go and buy the Roadrunner.
Joe Branton, what would be your second place product in this list?
So the Honey Boy is definitely third.
It is third by democracy.
Okay, so second place, and it's coming down to
the Boss Katana 50 and the Echoline Roadrunner
and the Transacoustic. Should have won. Listeners,
the
I'm going to start like a Yamaha Transacoustic appreciation group. Yeah. So, come across. And
you're both going to be really happy in that group.
Yeah. Joe Brandon, I'm going to have to push you.
Out of those two, well, then the amp that should be third place, I will put second. The Katana.
J Cross?
For me, out of these two, I think they're both very, very good products. I think there's, I think all three of those, on a different day, I think we could have argued ourselves into
all
three of those, and also the base Fly Rig 5. I think we could have argued ourselves into a different order.
I can't believe the base Fly Rig 5.
I really feel like there could have been any. And honestly, up until a minute ago, when I said about when I was talking whilst thinking, which I don't, I usually do that rather than think and then talk. I think that I probably would have chosen the Katana because I think it will be the product that lasts the longest. However, right now, the thing that got me more excited than anything else this year was the Roadrunner. And I honestly think it's the best product that came out this year.
So, I also agree. The Echo Line Roadrunner, I think, is the best thing that we've plugged in this year. But all the things in that top five are bloody fantastic. So, at number five on our list, the Tech 21 Base Fly Rig 5. Number four, the Reverend Billy Corgan Signature. Number three, the Honey Boy 5 Watt. Number two, the Boss Katana 50. And at number one, the Echo Line Roadrunner. Blimey.
God, the top two products, both under £200.
Yeah.
My word.
And the Honey Boy, massively like underpriced. We, some of us think that the Billy Corgan is very good value. And the Tech 21. Yeah. No, it's very. I think, though,
what we've got to say is out of the, 100 products we probably started with,
like, that's a good top five.
That's a good top five.
It's a very good top five.
I think if
five.
All of that strong, turned up on your door, you'd probably be like,
I'm a guitarist. Why have I got the Bass Fly Rig 5?
That means
out of 4 years, we've had a pedal three times.
But it is important for us to say.
A guitar has never won.
But as we say at the beginning, we don't discuss this beforehand. It does.
It is literally flowing out of our mouths you hear it.
The Katana wasn't included initially.
Oh yeah, it was the Blues Cube Hot.
Yeah. It was only me that talked us into it. Sorry, Joe. If we'd left the Blues Cube Hot in, the Honey Boy probably would have come.
Yeah, probably.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. Anyway, I'm absolutely knackered.
I think that's totally good.
I'm happy with that. I'm going to go and buy an Echo Line Roadrunner.
Do it. Thanks very much for listening to us ramble on for 6 hours. And thanks for listening throughout this year. This podcast is going out at Christmas, so...
What day?
This will come out on Christmas... The day before Christmas Eve, I think. So,
okay, Christmas Eve.
Have a good Christmas. We're gonna take a break here. We'll take a break of like 1 or 2 weeks, something like that. But
come back on. I can't do Monday 2nd.
Why is that?
Because it's the day after New Year's.
We'll still be really hungover. But we'll be back at some point.
Maybe we'll do a little mini episode.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little "How was your Christmas?" thing.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Indeed. We will see you in the new year. Keep an eye on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, for news about when we'll be back in January. Have a good Christmas.
Thanks so much for everybody's support.
Yeah.
We really, really, really appreciate it.
What, we're year two?
Well, year two of Guitar Nerds is year two. I guess it's just,
nearly 100 episodes.
Without wanting to gush through and be the boring one that talks about all this stuff.
You do
always.
It every year.
I know I do. If it wasn't for the fact that we were doing this podcast, we would still be doing this. Well, maybe not in this quite formal sense, but we would still be talking about this. It really is so humbling to know that people care about what we have to say.
Yeah.
As much as it costs us a lot of money, of our own personal money, to do this, and as much of time as it takes, it really is really rewarding to know that people care. And yeah, thanks so much to everyone who listens. We really, really appreciate every single download.
Yes, well done, you gaggle of plonkers.
Cheers, Joe.
Thanks for that. Have a good Christmas.
Cheers.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Farewell.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.